America, bonjour, hi, Canada. I'm going to come back to the utter shame of NBC News, and I'm going to come back with Jonathan Haidt, but I want to begin this hour with Mary Kissel, formerly chief aide to Mike Pompeo. She is on the Nixon seminar. She's with Stevens, where she's the executive vice president, and I needed someone to talk to about the UN. So good morning, Mary. Welcome. Thank you for joining me. Nobody wants to talk about the UN, but you're willing to talk about the UN. Thank you.
It's a pleasure, Hugh. Great to be with you.
All right. First, interpret for me an abstention, because it's a matter of ultimate good and evil. It's our closest ally, the equal of any ally in the world, and we abstained on six Americans in the caves of Hamas. What were they thinking?
Well, I don't know what they were thinking, Hugh. I can't get within that sort of mind. But an abstention is essentially equivalent to voting present. It means that you don't have an opinion on the matter. And in this case, the United States, by abstaining, essentially gave a green light to actors like Hamas to continue their terror. It essentially said the United States won't stop you. And you saw the result almost immediately. The chief of Hamas traveled to Tehran to celebrate the victory. On the other side, Israel, Netanyahu canceled his trip to the United States. And effectively what we're doing is we're isolating Israel in the court of public opinion. And by abstaining, we're bolstering the terrorist group Hamas.
Well, that's how I read it. Because if you think it's a good resolution, you vote yes. If you think it's a horrible resolution, you veto it. When you abstain, you say we're stupid and we have no opinion. I really, do you remember ever abstaining on anything during the Pompeo years and the Trump years?
Well, not something of this magnitude. And I think there's an angle here that doesn't get talked about, Hugh, which is our leverage within the United Nations. It's very considerable. And during the Trump years, we did go to our partners and say, you need to vote with us on X or Y because, hey, we're there for you when you need us. We provide aid to you. We provide support. We have great trade relationships. And so, you know, on the one hand, we can't have this great relationship outside of these walls. And then you guys come in here and vote against us. We have similar values. Let's vote together. And so we can put an enormous amount of pressure, not just on, you know, allies, obviously, who want to vote with us typically, but on states that are in the middle that might be lured by the likes of a China or an Iran or a Russia. And it's just a failure on the part of the UN staff and the leadership of the U.S. mission there that this happened. But maybe it's not you. Maybe it's not a failure. Maybe they planned this all along and this is just a matter of domestic politics and nothing more.
Mary, you've been on the inside and you've been on the outside. You've been a reporter and you've been in the seventh floor of the State Department and you write the newsletter now. Who is running Biden Foreign Affairs? There is no coherent policy on anything. There is a political campaign underway that appears to have captured the State Department, the UN delegation, the Department of Defense, and the National Security Advisor, as well as unnamed people. But do you have any idea who is running things? Because they're doing a very bad job of it.
Yeah. So I'm in the finance industry, Hugh. I talk to big hedge funds and boards and CEOs, and they're all asking the same thing because we have interests all around the world. And it's not just, investors in New York. It's American companies in the heartland where I'm sitting today. And I think the answer is that you have a confused foreign policy that's being driven out of the National Security Council. But ultimately, Hugh, it's the president. It's the commander in chief. And there's no clear vision here other than a fear that somehow if we exert American power and American leadership, that's going to be provocative. I mean, that to me seems to be the core philosophy. So you couple this kind of odd, you know, George W. Bush-like democracy rhetoric with a policy that's similar to Obama's, where you appease our enemies and where you come out is a green light for Russia to invade Ukraine, for China to threaten its neighbors and to crack down on its people. For Iran, through its proxies, to invade Israel and to terrorize its population. And you get a very, very disordered, chaotic, and dangerous world.
I'm talking with Mary Kissel, for those who are just tuning in. She's the executive vice president of Stephens, which is a financial advisory service. And I'm not quite sure what Stephens is. But Mary was Mike Pompeo's right arm. And before that, a Wall Street Journal reporter. Mary, do you think we have damaged the Abraham Accords? We have good allies. You and the whole team at State built up the Abraham Accords along with the president, Jared Kushner. A lot of people worked on them. Secretary Pompeo. Are we endangering them by being basically feckless in the Middle East?
Well, the short answer is yes. And I should answer, Stephens is an investment bank, and I was on the editorial board of the Journal. So not on the news side, I should make that clear. They like to disavow the opinion section. But of course, the reason that the Abraham Accords worked is because we were very clear about who our friends or strategic partners were in the Middle East, and who the enemy was, who was the provocateur, who were the terrorists. And that was Iran. If the Islamic Republic of Iran was transformed into a democracy, if those courageous Iranian people who are out there protesting every day, by the way, and we don't talk very much about that, if Iran were free, that would be an anchor of stability throughout the Middle East, and you would see change throughout the region. But because we identified Iran as the problem, it gave Saudi Arabia, it gave the nations of the Gulf room to do the sorts of things that they wanted to do with Israel, to draw closer to nations that truly want peace and stability in the region. And we absolutely put that in danger if we're not clear about which side we stand on. And the same is true, by the way, Hugh, in the Asia Pacific. I get a lot of questions from clients about our relationship with China. It's equally confused. We're trying to say that they're a competitor. They're not a competitor. They're an adversary. And that's why you see the spectacle of U.S. CEOs going over there this week. By the way, Stephens doesn't do business in China. We've never had a branch there, unlike the bulge bracket banks, because we recognize that there's no rule of law. It's a communist system. But you see these CEOs going over and saying, yeah, maybe we should trade. And they're used as propaganda tools because our policy is confused. We need to be clear about who shares our values or who shares our strategic interests and pursue relationships with those countries and clear about who our adversaries are and develop a strategy to contain them. And we're not doing that. We're trying to do this balancing act, which is what you saw at the UN, where, you know, we're going to abstain. We're not on either side. Well, that's just not how the world works. Hamas knows which side it is on. It's on the side of terror. It's on the side of Tehran. We need to be on the other side.
So I want to finish with this because I'm not 100% comfortable with Israel vis-a-vis China. Do you think they will figure out who is will Israel now change its policy towards China because China is buying Iran's oil? Do you think that's they're going to connect the dot? You can't be in or out on every other day. You got to be in the West or again. And this is my first criticism of Israel since 10/7. I haven't heard them say anything about China, Mary. Have you?
Well, I think they're pretty busy right now, Hugh. And I also, this is, again, what I tell clients, you can't talk about the world in bilateral terms. We're not facing Israel versus Iran or Russia versus Ukraine. The free world is facing a conglomerate of Iran, Russia, China, and North Korea, period. They cooperate
Venezuela.
With each other. They buy each other's, et cetera. That's how we need to think about the world and approach the world.
Do you put Venezuela in that list? I always say Russia, Iran, China for shorthand, but I never add in North Korea. And now I've started to add in North Korea and Venezuela because they're wholly owned subsidiaries of the bad guys. Do you put Venezuela in on your list?
I think, to use your term, Venezuela is a subsidiary of Cuba. And so I would add Cuba to that list, because if Cuba were free, then like a free Iran, you would see a vast number of countries in our hemisphere taking a turn for the better, because Cuba doesn't just prop up that regime in Caracas. Cuba props up bad regimes throughout Central and South America. So Cuba is another area of focus where I think this administration has really fallen down.
Quick exit question, Mary Kissel. Do you think that former President Trump needs a serious national security person in the second slot? And there are a lot of them. I'm not asking for a name, but I just think they're going to contrast and compare with Kamala Harris, who's not serious. Would you say a serious national security person ought to be the top priority for number two?
I don't know if I'm qualified to give advice to a president, but I will say that whoever takes the job, if President Trump comes in for a second term, he's facing a far more chaotic world than he left it. And so, unfortunately, I think whoever fills, maybe it's not the VP slot, maybe it's National Security Advisor. I think it's a whole suite of people, Department of Defense, Secretary of State. He's going to need a very, very strong team that has familiarity with these issues, who has lived abroad, who has worked abroad, and who understands just the magnitude of the threats we face. And we should add...
Follow Mary Kissel on X at Mary Kissel, KISSEL, at Stevens, Inc. Thank you, Mary. I'll be right back, America. Stay tuned.